Welcome to the, now we're actually on. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Human Services. We're grateful that you've joined us here today. We have several bills on consent, which we'll take up when we do have a quorum. Do want to welcome our Vice Chair, Senator Berryhill. Thank you so much, sir, for being here. Want to welcome all of you. A couple of thank yous, as we always do in the very beginning. Want to say thank you to Sarah to my right, along with Mariva, Mark, and Kelly for all the hard work. And, of course, we have the man, the myth, the legend. Jody is right here, one of our sergeants, and we're just grateful for all of his work. And in true human services tradition, we have chocolate for you in the back, which we'll be passing out. So we're going to expect even the assemblywoman to have some of our human services chocolate, and we do welcome you. We're going to jump right into it. We do not have a quorum quite yet. We'll start as a subcommittee, and we're going to be starting with Assembly Bill 601. And I do want to say thank you to the assemblywoman. This has been a bill that she has been working on. There are several amendments that have been agreed to late, which we are grateful for, and cannot say thank you enough for tackling this issue and for working with advocates in industry as well. So without further ado, we're going to turn it over to Assemblywoman Eggman to be able to brief us on Assembly Bill 601.
Thank you very much for having me here today, and thank you in advance both for your iVote and your chocolate.
Here we go.
AB 601 is a consumer protection bill that, yes, indeed, we've been working on for a couple years now, that deals with more transparency for residential care facilities for the elderly, known as RCFEs. This bill would require an applicant for an RCFE license to disclose detailed information regarding any other facilities they've owned or managed or operated, including facilities in another state. We've had incidents of people opening up things in some state, things go wrong, they move to California, and we have no knowledge, and then take them at their word, and then find out later that they've had a history of problems. The Department of Social Services then would have to cross-check that applicant's information with public health to ensure that they don't have a history of noncompliance and or other penalties. And, of course, we saw some horrendous cases 2 years ago, both in Castro Valley, Valley Springs, and then some things in my district that really said, hey, this industry needs a little bit more regulation. And these are, you know, our most vulnerable people, and we all know that we're heading down that path ourselves. So AB 601 also builds upon the facility information website so that consumers don't have to drive to a DDS department somewhere to get information, be able to be compiled together. And as you said, we've taken significant amendments, and we now have agreement from both the advocates and the industry on a bill to be able to move forward with. And with me today is Tony Chicotel with Canner to talk more about the bill if you need more, but I, in advance, respectfully, thank you for your iVote.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members and committee staff. My name is Tony Chicotel. I'm a staff attorney with California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. We're a sponsor of the bill. I just want to give you a brief overview of why I think the bill is needed. It's a disclosure and suitability bill. RCFEs has been the growth industry in long-term care for quite a while now, and because of the significant investment that's going that direction, the ownership arrangements have been increasingly complicated. And the committee knows that the regulatory structure was set up in 1985, and a couple years ago it started to get pretty dated, and there was significant legislation last year to address a lot of the holes. But one thing that we didn't really address was the ownership arrangements that are going on now. What's happening is approximately 60% of all assisted living facilities in the country now are part of a chain, at least two or more buildings within the same ownership group. And there's use of management contracts that insulate the licensee from the actual day-to-day operations and layers of ownership, real estate ownership, and arrangements with the vendors who provide services to the facility. So it's getting increasingly complicated and more difficult for the department to check on who's actually running these places. And from our perspective, even more significant, consumers are in the dark about who's running these places and what their performance is like in facilities within the state and out of the state. To give you one quick example, there's a facility in Salinas that's in a lot of trouble, a lot of significant citations over the last couple years. And the owner has this ambiguous sounding name. They're based in New York. They're incorporated in Nevada. And the business manager's in North Carolina who deals with the Department of Social Services. And nobody knows who's actually running the place. And there's word out that they have other facilities in other states and want to expand in California. Mm-hmm. So this bill is really about transparency. It's about accountability. It's about making sure that consumers and the department understand who owns these places and can track their performance chain-wide. So appreciate your I vote. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. We'd like to be able to see if there are any other individuals that would like to speak briefly in support, please.
Greg DeShear with the ARC and United Cerebral Palsy, the Developmental Disability Coalition. RCFEs, their name aside, also serve younger adults with disabilities. If the legislature is unsuccessful in increasing the provider rates for the developmental disability system and the group homes continue to close, as they have been a lot, we expect to see more of our people going into them. So this is an important bill for us, and we support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And other speakers, we can also go to the other mic as well. Thank you.
Andrew Langley on behalf of the County of San Diego in support.
Thank you, sir.
Morgan Garbajal with the Hernandez Strategy Group on behalf of the Consumer Federation of California. We think it's a great transparency bill and consumer right to know bill and strongly in support.
Good to see you. Thank you.
My name is Joel Goldman. I'm a partner with Hanson Bridget. I'm general counsel to the California Assisted Living Association. First of all, I want to thank the committee for all of its hard work and thank Assemblywoman Eggman for all of her hard work and cooperation with us. CALA, from the outset, has been in favor of transparency. We feel that it helps the industry when consumers know what they're getting, and we've been working with the Assemblywoman from the outset. As is often the case in bills like this, the devil's in the details. Yeah. Our concern was making sure that we had legislation that would not make it impossible for providers to comply or make it impossible for the department to deal with the information they were obtaining. We believe that with the amendments that have been worked out, we've resolved those problems, and we're pleased to support the bill.
I just want to take a moment to say thank you for continuing to have at it and working these last minute amendments out. So greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. Please.
Mark Victoria with ASPE Local 2620. We represent the licensing program analysts that go out to inspect the RCFEs as well as other homes within the state. We are in agreement that this is a wonderful transparency bill and stand in strong support.
Thank you so much.
Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter, in support.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Ted Toppin for the California State Retirees, strongly in support.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair and members, Brian Elson on behalf of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also in strong support.
Thank you. Anyone else in support? Are there any individuals who'd like to be able to come forward in opposition? We're going to bring it back to the committee. I am going to ask the Assemblywoman to ensure that she's going to take the amendments on record. All right. Thank you so much. And we'd like to be able to see if the Vice Chair has any questions or comments.
You're taking the amendments now, or you're going to be taking them in appropriations?
Well, I think we'll have to take them in appropriations.
She's going to be taking them in appropriations. We do have an RE.
Yes. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
All right. Thanks.
No, thank you so much, Mr. Berryhill. We do have an RN and ready to go. We'll be submitted to Ledge Council. The Assemblywoman will be taking these amendments within appropriations, and it's on everything related to disclosure and exemption language, additional
information in 6 months.
Exactly. Out-of-state facilities and language on the civil penalties. So I just, again, want to say thank you for continuing to work at this and your continued advocacy. In working with industry as well as advocates, and we greatly appreciate this is a really good bill, and by working with all sides, I think it's even stronger. So do want to say thank you so much. I don't know if you could tell where I'm at, and obviously showing my bias. So do appreciate that. Is there, we will not take this up, and we're going to wait till we have a quorum, and we'll take that vote up as soon as we have a quorum.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Assemblywoman. All right, I do see Assemblywoman Lopez here. It's good to see you again. We have Assembly Bill 260, focusing on foster care and parenting youth. Assemblywoman, we're glad you're here. We'll turn it over to you. Thank you so much. We do not have a quorum quite yet, which means we'll need to be able to hold and not vote until we have a third member. And let's knock on wood that we have a third member come in while you're representing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm pleased to present to you AB 260, which will share certain information to parenting due case filed during the pendants proceeding. This bill ensures that parenting due are given additional support service and are offering the parenting foster due regardless of the placement setting due lives and live in. It's important that California does not create a cycle of youth that enter into the foster care system at the birth. Therefore, we must try our best to keep families united and provide the proper resource that will support them. Here with me, I have two witnesses to support.
Thank you so much. If you could please state your first and last in the organization you're with, and if you could just make it brief. Thank you so much.
Certainly. Kyle Sporleader with the California Youth Connection. We're the sponsor of the bill. And I have here a youth member of our Placer County chapter, Allison Bendel, who's going to speak to you a little bit about the rationale behind the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to see you. Thank you so much. Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm doing good. Thank you. As Kyle said, my name is Allison, and I'm a former foster youth and member of California Youth Connection. And something that speaks out to me is that the importance of breaking the cycle of foster care, because we see that foster youth have children who then have children who end up in foster care themselves at really disproportionate rates instead of keeping the families together and the children in their homes through the success with support and maintenance. Foster youth face a higher level of scrutiny and stigma, both for being a foster youth and for being a young parent, and that often gets in the way of their success and the way they're viewed. One way our bill combats this is at ensuring that certain information that's now outdated or irrelevant is not used as the sole piece of evidence to take the child away, such as placement changes, behavioral issues, mental health, and health diagnoses. Again, that would, as the sole piece of evidence, that would not be used against them. We also see that foster youth that are parenting want to be good parents. Coming from a home that is broken may oftentimes not say that you're going to lead a broken home, but that you may have a desire to have a home that's not broken even more so. The bill requires that any attempt at taking a foster youth child away first include a demonstration that reasonable efforts have been made to keep the family unit together. And our bill also mandates that any placement setting a parenting foster youth is in must support the success of the youth in the family and in keeping that child with the home. Thank you.
Great job. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would like to be able to see if there are any individuals that would like to speak in support of the bill, so please come forward. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. My name is Mariah Kayla Watson on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union of California, and we're in strong support.
Good afternoon, Danielle Mollet with the California Alliance of Child and Family Services, also in support.
Anyone else like to come speak in support? Any individuals like to speak in opposition, please? All right, we're going to bring it back. Assemblywoman, I want to confirm that you're going to be taking the amendments through the committee.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Would like to be able to turn it over to the committee. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have any questions or comments on this? Thank you so much, Assemblywoman. What we are going to do is hold this until we have a quorum. If this mm-hmm. does pass, it would pass to Judiciary with amendments reflected in the analysis, and that will be taken up next at the Judiciary Committee. We're really grateful that you're here. Would you have any closing statements that you may want to make?
I just want to thank you for your time.
Hey, it's always good to see you, and thank you so much. And really nice job today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's good to see you. And we'll be taking the vote up here shortly as soon as we have a quorum. Thank you so much. Sir. All right. So what we've heard is that Mr. Toppin, who is here today, is going to do a little song and dance for us while we hear Mr. Gomez is on his way. Mr. Toppin, anything you'd like to be able to share with us today?
That's next hearing.
Oh, next hearing. All right. Hey, thank you so much. I guess that. Busy day. Folks are presenting in committees all throughout the building. What we're going to do is we're going to do a roll call. We're then going to take up our consent agenda, and then we'll also take action on AB 260 Lopez as well as AB 601. Let's start with the roll call, Mr. Teamer.
McGuire.
Here.
McGuire here. Berryhill.
Here.
Berryhill here. Hancock.
Here.
Hancock here. Lou.
Here.
Lou here. When? Four.
All right. Thank you so much. We'd like to be able to take a look at our consent agenda. We have AB 74, AB 97, AB 371, AB 592, and AB 1436. Mr. Teamer.
The motions are respectively due pass as amended to appropriations with recommendation to the consent calendar and due pass to appropriations with recommendation to the consent calendar. McGuire.
Hey, there we go. Aye.
McGuire, aye. Berryhill.
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Hancock.
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Lou.
Aye.
Lou, aye. Wen.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to AB 260, and this is a due pass to judiciary with amendments reflected in the analysis to be taken in the Judiciary Committee. Is there a motion to approve? We have a motion by the Vice Chair, Mr. Teamer.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Berryhill.
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Hancock.
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Lou.
Aye.
Lou, aye. Wen. Four.
Thank you so much. That gets out. We're now going to be moving on to AB 601 Eggman. This is a due pass as amended to Appropriations Committee. Do we have a motion?
I'll move the bill.
Okay. Oh, we are going to hold those open. Yes, thank you so much, Mariva. We have a motion by Senator Hancock, or is that him? Oh, hey.
But don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Hey, there we go. I like it. Senator Liu, I do apologize. Okay. All right, we have a motion by Senator Liu. Mr. Teamer.
The motion is due pass to appropriation. Due pass as amended to Appropriations Committee. McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Berryhill.
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Hancock.
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Lou.
Aye.
Lou, aye. Wen.
Four. That's great. And we're going to hold that open for Senator Wen as well. All right. So we are now back on hold. Senator Liu, we were asking for folks to do any song or dance earlier. So we're going to break out the chocolate, pass it out, and we will be waiting for Mr. Gomez. And we have two additional bills to roll today. We have Mr. Manshine, AB 702, and Mr. Gomez, AB 211. We'll be back with you.
Long time no see.
Hi, how are you? Good. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have the Assemblymember here today. This is AB 702, CalWORKS Temporary Shelter Assistance. Do appreciate you bringing this forward. Assemblyman, we're going to turn it over to you to be able to tell us about the bill. And then we'll open it up for support. And welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The number of children facing homelessness in America is at an all-time high. Current law provides temporary housing assistance to homeless families receiving aid through the California Work Opportunity and Responsibility to Children program, or CalWORKS, for up to 16 consecutive nights in a hotel, motel, or commercial establishment. A voucher provided through CalWORKS temporary housing assistance cannot exceed $65 per night, and a family is eligible for this temporary assistance once in a lifetime. Because the temporary housing assistant caps at 16 consecutive days, a break in assistance inadvertently punishes families who vacate their temporary lodgings for just one day. Families may break their consecutive night stay for a host of reasons, job opportunities, childcare obligations, medical travel, or to find a place to stay that's more suitable for children in the long term. Whether or not the family has a choice to stop aid before the 16th day, the rule itself establishes a disincentive to find alternative arrangements, seek prospective opportunities for employment, or to attend to pressing health or family obligations during this time period. By removing the requirement that the 16 days be consecutive, AB 702 will eliminate the disincentive to refuse or interrupt temporary housing assistance. The purpose of the temporary housing assistance is to enable homeless families with children to stay off the street and more quickly secure permanent housing. AB 702 strengthens the ability of the program to achieve that goal. This bill has received support throughout the process, and I would respectfully request your aye vote.
No, thank you so much, Assemblyman Member. I do appreciate that, and really good bill. Would like to be able to open it up. Any in support, if you could please state your first and last name and your organization.
Good afternoon. My name is Amalia Romero with the Western Center on Law and Poverty, and who is a co-sponsor of AB 702. And we would like to express support for this bill and just point out the positive effects that it will have on the CalWORKs Temporary Shelter Assistance Program. So by eliminating this requirement that the 16 days of assistance be consecutive, this bill will really help further the broader goal of helping people get back to a place of self-sufficiency and stability. And one reason, as mentioned by the assembly member, is that the consecutive day requirement creates that disincentive for people to get back out there. And that's because they know that any break in the 16 days will result in their terminating their benefits and barring them from receiving any in the future, even if they only used a couple days worth of assistance. Also, it's important to just recognize the reality of homelessness. People suffering through it have more than just shelter to worry about. They suffer disproportionately from health and mental health problems. So sometimes it takes more than just one time to effectively get them back out there into a place of stability in their lives. So allowing them to set aside some of those 16 days for use in the future will help people address problems that arise at different times. So for these reasons, Western Center is in full support of AB 702, and we thank the assembly member for authoring this and urge the committee to vote aye. Thank you
so much.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kevin Aslan, Coalition for California Welfare Rights Organizations, co-sponsoring this bill. This bill basically gives people some options. And if they want, rather than being forced into a hotel for 16 days, they may want to go stay with their sister for a couple of days, their uncle for a couple of days, and then if it gets too crowded, they have the option of going back. And I think that this will save money rather than cost money, so we urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Hi, Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter, also in support.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. All right, we have others who are in support. And we have both microphones, please.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Good. Mr. Chairman and members, Michael Radigan on behalf of the Board of Supervisors of Santa Clara County here in support.
It's good to see you. Thank you.
Shireen Walter, California State PTA, the Parent Teacher Association, in support of the bill.
Thank you for being here.
Michelle Gibbons with the California State Association of Counties in support.
Thanks, Michelle.
Hi, Kathy Sunderling with the County Welfare Directors Association in support.
Thanks for being here. Anyone else in support? Are there any individuals that may have opposition today? Let's bring it back to the committee to see if there are any questions or comments by the senators.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I think this is a very common sense bill. It's probably much needed, and I'd like to move it at the proper time.
No, thank you so much. We do have a motion now on the floor. Senator Hancock.
I was going to say almost word for word what Senator Berryhill said. So.
Absolutely. Not only is it common sense, I mean, it's 16 days, right? I mean, and just really appreciate you bringing this forward and your focus on this. Anyone else? Senator Liu, you have any questions or comments? Thanks. Do appreciate that. We have a motion by Vice Chair, Mr. Teamer.
AB 211, Assemblymember Gomez, the motion is due pass to.
I'm sorry.
AB 702, Assemblymember Mainshine, the motion is due pass to appropriations. And McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye. And
all right, we have four. We're going to keep that open for Senator Wynn. Thank you so much, Senator. Really good to see you, and thanks for bringing forward such
thank
great
you,
bill.
Mr. Chair and members.
It's good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
Hey, there we go. We now have the man, the myth, the legend, Assemblymember Gomez here today. Assembly Bill 211, this bill delinks the establishment of an IHSS statewide public authority and its associated bargaining functions. We're really grateful that the Assemblymember is here. We're going to turn it over to the Assemblymember to talk to us about Assembly Bill 211.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. Existing law states that the California In-Home Support Services statewide authority will assume the employer responsibility for collective bargaining of the IHSS program in 8 pilot counties upon the implementation of the Coordinated Care Initiative. AB 211 will require the IHSS authority to assume collective bargaining responsibility in all 58 counties beginning January 1, 2016, essentially transferring this responsibilities from the counties to the state level. This bill would delink the transition to the state level collective bargaining from every other aspect of Coordinated Care Initiative and allow the move to be done in a timely manner. I have witnesses here today who are well versed in the issue and can answer any questions you may have.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Christina Boss Hamilton. I represent UDW, AFSCME Local 3930. We represent 77,000 IHSS workers throughout California. This bill, we are sponsoring, co-sponsoring this bill along with our colleagues at SEIU because it's a major priority for us that we not have the current situation, which is basically one foot in and one foot out in terms of collective bargaining. The original plan when the Coordinated Care Initiative was first adopted was a very ambitious plan, but nonetheless, the administration believed that the CCI would be statewide within 3 years, which would be this year. And so we never contemplated a situation, which we have now, where the CCI is at not even the 8 county level. It actually was reduced to 7 with absolutely no plan to go beyond that anytime in the near future. And so we have a situation where about 2/3 of our members will be bargaining at the state level and the remaining third at the county level. And we're finding that to be a model that's really doesn't work for a plethora of reasons. And so this is a priority bill and we would thank you very much for your support. Thank you.
It's good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Robert Harris with SEIU California. We list the counties that are going to soon be in statewide collective bargaining, and it becomes clear Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Mateo, and Santa Clara are all going to be in statewide bargaining, most of them at the end of this month. It doesn't make sense to keep two different bargaining systems. It doesn't make sense for the counties who this bill would actually help by bringing collective bargaining up to the state and locking in their MOE, which is an important thing. It wouldn't be up to any whim or change in policy from then on. They would have an MOE that's right now set in law, and that law would continue. We think that's good for the counties. It's good for us, and it's good for the state to have to do all the bargaining in one place instead of having it bifurcated. So we respectfully request your aye vote.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair and members, Brian Allison on behalf of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also in strong support of this piece of prudent, we believe, legislation. I just want to highlight another issue that my colleagues haven't talked about, which is with respect to the paid sick leave bill that came up last year. You all as a body took IHSS workers out of the paid sick leave bill last year simply because of the administration's concerns about those things being something that needs to be collectively bargained. Now, with respect to this piece of legislation, this will be the mechanism to allow that to take place. So, I mean, this bill, for a host of reasons, is important. It's prudent for taxpayers here in the state of California. It's smart. We believe that it is the best course of action that we should take with respect to the IHSS providers in this state, and we respectfully request your aye vote.
Thank you. It's good to see you. We'd like to be able to see if there are any other individuals like to speak in support, please. How you doing?
Michael Young, California Labor Federation, also here in support.
Thanks, Mike. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in support? Do we have anyone else, anyone opposed? Please come forward this time. All right, we're going to bring it back to the committee to see if there are any individuals with questions or comments.
I would move the bill.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Hancock. We'll look to closing statement. Assemblymember.
This is a bill that we introduced last year. We brought it back on concurrence, but we couldn't reach an agreement with the governor's office, so we held it. It's the same bill. We're working on the issues And let us continue the conversation and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you so much, Assembly Member. We have a motion on the floor by Senator Hancock to do pass to Appropriations Committee. Mr. Teamer.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Berryhill. Hancock.
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Lou.
Aye.
Lou, aye. Wen.
All right, we're going to keep that open, and we'll let you know as soon as we close that. Assembly Member, it's good to see you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you so much. All right, we are now officially on call. Everybody is, Senator Wynn's rolling down. All right, so grab, as we keep saying, some chocolate, and we're going to hold here for just a bit. I think you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You voted on everything.
You're good.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Wynn is in the House. All right. Thank you so much, Senators. All right. So, Senator Wynn, we are going to go through. We'll start with our consent. In our consent calendar today, we had AB 74, AB 97, AB 371, AB 592, AB 1436. Right now, the consent calendar is a 4-0.
Chair votes aye. Wen?
Aye.
Wen, aye. 5.
All right. That our consent agenda is done. We're now going to move on to AB 211. That's Mr. Gomez. Right now, there are 3 votes, and we had the vice chair was not present.
Chair votes aye. Berryhill. Wen.
No.
Wen, no.
Thank you so much.
3-1.
3-1. That is out. AB 211 do pass to Appropriations Committee. We're now going to move on to Assembly Bill 260. This was to pass to Judiciary with amendments reflected in the analysis to be taken in the Judiciary Committee. I do believe, Mr. Teamer, we had a 4-0 on that as well.
Chair votes aye. Wen.
Aye.
Wen, aye. 5.
Thank you so much. AB 260 is out. We are now moving on to Assembly Bill 601, Eggman. It is a do pass as amended to Appropriations Committee. Mr. Teamer, I believe we had a 4-0 on that as well. Correct.
Chair votes aye. Wen?
Aye.
Wen, aye. 5.
We are moving, everybody. This is exciting. We're now moving to Assembly Bill 702, Mainshine. This is on CalWORKS. I believe we had a 4-0 on this, and it's a due pass to Appropriations Committee. Mr. Teamer.
Chair votes aye. Wen?
Aye.
Wen, aye. 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is so exciting. My goodness, everybody.
You're faster than my veterans.
Hey, there we go. Hot damn. Thank you so much, and we'll be seeing you here in a couple weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Jody, what the hell are we going to do? 3 weeks, this is terrible news. All right, everybody, we'll see everybody in 3 weeks. Thanks so much.